Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jesse with the Team Rocket Podcast, and this is the first edition of what I would like to call the Team Rocket Expansion Pack. There have been a couple of times where I've recorded something on my own, usually in the vein of an interview. We've done two of those, one with independent wrestler TK Stark, the other with professional gamer Daisha Delightful Harley, and I did those interviews largely myself. James was not with me. This is a bit of a different case scenario, and the reason I'm calling it the Team Rocket Expansion Pack is for the case such as this. Basically, during last night's podcast, James and I did go off the rails from our discussion about professional gaming and what that seems to entail and what it's consisting of, and while we do have fun with our podcast, sometimes, you know, things do get hairy. James and I have known each other for 15 years now. We have a friend-to-friend dynamic, and sometimes we even lose track of what we're doing. Nonetheless, the purpose for this pod, or for this special edition of a podcast, and for any future instances you may see of this, hereto referred to as the Team Rocket Expansion Pack, if there is a point that we felt that was missed, or that we didn't address, or something that just occurred to us the very next day that we really should have gotten in, or should have been said, or should have explored, this is going to be the purpose of that. We're going to use this as a chance to discuss something that should have been said. And overnight, and going into this morning, there was something from the Professional Gaming Podcast from last night, episode 5, that I did want to get into, and I felt that the boat was missed there, and luckily I'm in a position where I can rectify that. So, to get into that, I've had an interest in competitive gaming at a very young age. I would say my earliest instance of it was trying to learn about Warcraft 2 competitively, and that being played using the old Kali matchmaking program from way back when. I want to say that's at least mid-90s minimum. Well before Battle.net. It was the precursor to Battle.net. And that's, you know, I've always been interested in exploring professional gaming from a competitive standpoint. That's always been something that I've been into. My first foray into competitive gaming, of which there was some form of cash prize on the line, was with music rhythm games, mainly Dance Dance Revolution. That is where my earliest personal experience with competitive gaming comes from. What had been bothering me about professional gaming, and where the nade shot, basically, to get any further, when we were discussing ideas for the episode 5 of our podcast, what ultimately triggered it was nade shot making the front page of Yahoo, and his reasons for resigning from his position as a competitive player on the Optic Gaming team. And it was cited real life stuff, real life interests, full-time job, etc., etc. And those are all fine reasons to back out. When I look at the pro gaming and the notion of esports, I look at it in the same way that, you know, we would look at sports nowadays. These are people who have honed their craft. They have spent years upon years trying to become the best at what they do, and there's nothing wrong with that. We do that with our normal day-to-day jobs, you know, with our hobbies that we are super into. We, even with this podcast, James and I are going to do the absolute best that we can to the best of our abilities, and we're going to put in the time and work necessary to make sure you, the viewer, are entertained and informed, because that's what we want to do. Now, case in point, when you hear of someone like of Nate Shot's caliber leaving, and then you also hear he has a full-time job on top of that, it does make me wonder, where's the money in pro gaming to begin with? Because this is something that's supposed to have been burgeoning over the past 10 years easily, and the fact that he's not able to make a living off of this, you know, does shock me. one of the biggest moneymakers I've seen in professional gaming right now has been, obviously, League of Legends team tournaments, their world championships, Dota, or Dota 2. Having another one, I forget what the cash prize was for that. I know it was at least six figures, if not more. Even now, recently, with fighting games, with Capcom taking a huge interest in their competitive development, you have the Capcom Pro Tour, which, as of the last year's Capcom Cup, they promised that for this year, that the cup would be getting, would be making $500,000 in cash prizes, of which they realized that the main tournament, the big tournament at the end of the year, the Capcom Cup, would see a cash pot of $125,000 that would be divvied out among the top eight. So obviously you can see that your top player is going to be getting the lion's share of that. So the top player will most likely be seeing at least mid five figures, 50 grand if not more. That's, I'm guessing, again, that's what that is. That's a guess. I'm not 100% certain of the prize distribution. I won't promise to be. When I think of something like that, to someone who works a 9-to-5, 40-hour, a job that you've probably spent a college degree getting, 50K sounds like that's about average. That's what you'd be making on a normal day-to-day job. Certainly not something that a professional, a competitive gamer would be making, if you want to compare competitive gaming to actual sports, such as what, NFL player salaries, basketball player salaries, and I would personally say that's ludicrous, but you get where I'm going. And you start to realize that pro gaming, despite the entertainment value behind it, is a full-time job. You have to treat it like a job. It has to become, the way you're putting money on the table. And one of the things that I remember hearing Nadeshot mention in his Optic Gaming announcement was that he was going to use a lot of the time to do a lot of solo matches that, he normally would not have the time to do. But more importantly than that, he would be streaming and uploading a lot more content to stuff like YouTube, to Twitch TV, and, putting more out there for the Call of Duty fan base to view, and especially for his own fans. And then you look at other streamers. You have, like, Markiplier, for one. You have Casey Tron. For the fighting game contingent, I know that you have Maximilian Dude. All of whom aren't the top at what they... on the competitive level. But they're bringing in a lot of profits just by being personalities, just by putting out content, just by, explore, just by playing the games and engaging the people by which are watching. And suddenly it made me think, it's redefining what it means to be a pro gamer. When I think of a pro gamer, like I said, I think of someone who is doing it competitively. This is their life. Their success or failure is based on them winning or losing. You've put in the time to hone your craft, you've put in the time to sharpen it, to be the best in the world at what you do, should you not be fairly compensated for that? And I think there's a dynamic change on what it means to be a pro gamer, because now being a pro doesn't necessarily mean being the best at what you're doing. Sometimes it means having the most engaging personality, sometimes being the one who can... hold a crowd, which is also good. I mean, there's something to be said for entertainment value. I mean, that's why we play these games. That's why we watch them. It is entertainment. But it's one of those things that you're wondering now, where's the money? What is going to bring in the most profit? What is going to put the most food? Hello, dogs in our neighborhood. My apologies for the dogs. That just completely threw me off track. That's really embarrassing to admit right here. You want to believe that if you spend your time being the best at what you're doing, learning, training, competing, you should be rewarded, and I largely agree with that. But what do you do when... From a, number one, what you're doing, because once it becomes competitive, once you are using your success failure as a way for ends meet, that no longer becomes fun. The game itself might be fun, but now the focus has changed. You know, you're not playing for love of game anymore. You are playing because this is your life on the line. This is your well-being on the line. Again, someone is now trying to take food off your table. So there's a lot more at stake there. And there's probably a lot of added pressure there, a lot of stress. A lot of time where ego is going to kick in. And people have found a way to make money against that notion where they can take away that stress. They can literally play these games just for fun, just by craft an engaging personality, craft a character around who they really are, and use it to entertain others, and have the same level of financial success, certainly that way gain the same notoriety and fame, but do it in a completely different capacity that, you know, sounds, at least on paper, sounds like it would be infinitely less stressful. I remember, you know, from playing DDR, again, that being my experience, the times where I had the most fun playing the game wasn't always competing and trying to put up the best scores and trying to beat everyone else. It was actually playing with the people that I had grown to know over the years and talking with them and just having conversation with them, entertaining them, you know, telling funny stories, that kind of thing. I competed in tournaments, and that it was fun, and grant you know, my well-being wasn't dependent entirely on the success or failure of these tournaments, but having ran events, having, you know, competed in them, I knew that, you know, once a tournament was over, and, you know, once everyone had packed up and left, I didn't want to play for a little bit. I just wanted to take a step back from everything and just, you know, chill, get away from it, do something else. Like, you invest so much of yourself emotionally and mentally into this, and physically in that particular instance, that by when it's over, it feels like you don't have it. You've burned yourself out, and you need to take a break. And, you know, you see it happen to pro gamers, and when there's a better way for them to have financial comfort, to have fame, to have attention without the stress, you know, why not take that? Why not explore those avenues? And I have to be, you know, frank, it's certainly not for everyone. Not every competitive pro gamer can make a transition to being a personality, nor can every personality compete on a competitive pro level. That goes both ways. It's a rare case where you can find someone who can toe that line between both and have success in both fields. Those end up being your superstars. Those are your Jordans, for example. Michael Jordan, who was an amazing basketball player on the court and an entrancing personality off of it. Those are those once-in-a-generation kind of things where you don't always see that. And I think pro gaming is still trying to find that personality in general for any of its fields. And whoever figures out how to corner that market, that's going to be who ends up making a lot of money and has a lot of success and fame from this particular venture. I guess my big concern is, from last night and what I've been willing to discuss today, is what is a pro gamer? What makes a pro gamer? What defines that? And if you want me to be frank now, it's someone who is making money playing video games and entertaining others playing video games. Now, but the question is how is it through competition, through being a star in those games, having competitive success, or is it someone who streams, who films video and engages others and communicates well with others? You know, what is it, which one of those what makes a pro gamer? Which one of those is the professional gamer? Maybe they're both pro gamers. Maybe there's really no distinction there, because at the end of the day, if you're making money from doing this, you are a professional at that. Pro gaming as a whole is still very young. When esports, rather, excuse me, this is the time where esports would actually be the correct term to use. Esports is very young compared to a lot of the sports brethren that we see today. It's a young, burgeoning, almost frontier level sport that's finally starting to see for that first time, a degree of mainstream attention and popularity. Where it goes, I don't know. I can't wait to see that. I'm very excited to see that. But I want to see who's going to become the first big superstar of the esports era. I want to see who makes that transition from being just a competitive gamer or just a personality and transcends both worlds and actually brings it to the mainstream, because that's what it will take. You're going to need someone like that. And I want to see who does that. I want to see who makes the most of this. I want to see who is going to be the one to reach out and take the most of that proverbial pie that it has not been tasted and is certainly, certainly untapped. I believe that was the point I was trying to make last night. Hopefully this cleared it up. James and I will be back tomorrow with episode 6 of the Team Rocket podcast, with our focus being survival horror, and I promise that is one James is looking forward to doing. Man loves his survival horror. I, on the other hand, am terrible at shooting zombies in Resident Evil, so I am the... this is going to be a big show for James. I know he's excited about it, and I know that he can't wait to get on that. So with that said, I'm going to end this expansion pack here. Hopefully, you probably won't see many of these. If you do, James and I are clearly not doing our jobs, or, you know, maybe there is a lot more to talk about than we both intended. Either way, this has been the Team Rocket expansion pack. I'm Jesse, and I am blasting off again.